This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the program, we head to the world of parkour and free running, an active sport defined as a physical discipline in which practitioners aim to move quickly and efficiently using only their bodies and the environment. The essence of parkour is to run, jump, somersault and roll your way from point A to point B as quickly and gracefully as possible, no matter the obstacles in your way. On the show this week, we're pleased to have Abudi Alzagov, known as a parkour legend in Malaysia and one of the pioneers of the local parkour scene. A man who, like many others, started practicing it only as a hobby and then moved to Dubai to pursue it full-time. Best known for his feat in 2015, where he climbed 200 flights of stairs to create a human flag at the top of the world's tallest residential building, the 101 Marina building in Dubai, which is about 430 meters above ground. He has since moved on to coaching parkour practitioners, training, and even entrepreneurship with his own parkour business, Alpha Movements, which sees him appearing and performing flips and tricks in TV commercials across Asia. We kickstart the conversation by talking about the different concepts between free running and parkour.
I guess the easiest way to say it is when I speak English, I just use free running because it's the English term. Okay. And then parkour originates from the French word, le parkour. And it does have a bit of differences, but these days people really don't make much out of it.
Okay.
So if you want to say technically parkour is the art of movement, moving as fast and as efficient as possible from one point to the other, from A to B, by just using your human body. So it's really helpful for you to flight, basically, art of flight.
Gotcha.
While free running is parkour in a way where you express your body and movement in the urban environment, you move in a free way. So you incorporates twisting, flips, and like parkour, but just more stylish.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the more flashy side.
The flashier, the more attention-seeking kind of movement, yeah.
And you consider yourself both?
I would consider everybody that practice parkour as a free runner a traceur. Yeah.
Got you. So tell me a bit about those early days. You started in 2005,
Yeah, so right? I started off in 2007. How I started off was I went to school and then a friend told me, hey, do you know about parkour? Back then it was new. And I said, what? He said, parkour. And then I said, I don't know. So he told me to go back home and go look it up on YouTube. Back then YouTube was just starting out.
Yep.
And then I went, typed up P-A-R-K-O-U-R. And then I saw the first video. It's an amateur video. And it blew my mind because I thought like, hey, this is not humanly possible. All I've seen this on TVs and movies, I thought these are all fakes. You know, they were using wires and all these movie tricks, I would call. Like in when we watch Power Rangers,
yeah.
We see all those flips, Ultraman, and like, how is this humanly possible? This is real because this guy is recording in an amateur camera and it's real basically on YouTube.
You found out firsthand that it's real.
Yes. So it basically gave me the motivation to start trying. And I told my friend like, hey, do you know anyone that is doing parkour? Because I want to learn from them. So he brought me to the first meetup in my hometown, Bangi. And then basically I saw my first backflip, a person doing a backflip in front of you live. That just blew my mind.
Right.
That really blew my mind because I thought that's some gravity defying action. That's not real. So it just really motivates me even more to start learning and then to just, you know, get into it. So from then, it just started off like snowballing, like, hey, I know parkour is an art of movement. What interests me even more is that you are the only person that can help yourself in this situation.
Right.
There's so many people that can teach you out there, like videos or your coach can tell you like how to do a backflip. But at the end of the day, you have to teach yourself how to do this movement.
Right. Gotcha.
They can support you in some ways. You can, of course, I strongly suggest that you train in a safe environment. But at the end of the day, it's just you and yourself teaching your own self how to move, teaching yourself how to be aware of your environment, of your surrounding. Your reaction times get faster and it's just overall healthier for you.
We'll talk a bit about how you train, for especially in a safe environment, a bit later on. But I really want to ask about something you touched on earlier about the Malaysian community.
Yep.
So you're trying to find, you know, different groups that practice parkour, that trains parkour. How do you find the community?
Well, back then we had a forum,
like
Parkour Malaysia forum, and that's these friends, they're like friends from my town, so it wasn't much of a problem for me to find people that trains.
Gotcha.
But for the other people that's from different town, they would go to this forum and then we'll be able to find
fellow members.
Fellow members just hit us up. They're like, hey, I'm from Cheras, is anybody in Cheras trains as well? But these days, of course, you have Facebook groups and you have so many of other communities that's practicing parkour. You have Instagram, Facebook. You can find people, for example, in Instagram, hashtag parkour Malaysia. And then you find people, and then you can just hit each other up. Mm. So today it makes everything so much easier.
Yeah. The social media age.
With social media,
I want to talk a bit about, you know, the buildings are basically your playground, right?
Yes.
When you're, you know, I say passing through or walking by a building, it's the first thought that goes to your mind. It's like, oh, can I navigate through this building?
Yes, exactly. You see the world as your playground. That's the most interesting thing.
Right.
Because your mindset just basically switches up from any, I would say, normal people. They would say stairs as just stairs. But when we see stairs and walls, we'd be like, hey, I could climb this wall. No matter, like, you think if it's this high, I could climb this high.
Right.
Like, okay. So it seems like useless in the beginning, but when you need to use it, for example, there's so many times in the news that a guy was climbing up a fire building on fire to save his mother or something like that, and you've seen in France that guy, and that's parkour basically.
So I guess it's inspirations like that, stories like that, right? That I wouldn't say it's useless, it's practical at times,
exactly.
Right, you never know when you have
people
to do
think
it.
Like when they see us jumping around, they would think like, what are these hooligans doing? So I would say, like, you think because you're not doing it.
Yeah.
But when you start doing it, it's like very, very useful, practical for you. Yeah.
True that. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about that now. When you started out in 2007 to today, 2020, I'm sure back then you were like, what are these guys doing running around, you know, boulders, running around buildings? Has that perception changed today?
I would say it does. It have changed because nowadays when people see you like jumping or flipping, they'll be like, hey, boy, you parkour.
So they know what it is now.
Yeah.
They know the term.
So they know what it is now. And I think it's something positive because they understand. But it's just still the stigma of like, oh, I would never be able to do that because whatever reasons that you're thinking, whether they're old, whether it's their weight that is an obstacle to them. But to be honest, I always tell my audience and people that if you want to do parkour, there's no obstacle. Parkour is like seeing obstacle as something that you can get over, under, or through.
Right, got you.
So it applies in real life as well. So whether you think like, oh, my weight is like, I'm overweight, I can't do parkour. You can, you just have to approach it differently.
When you were starting out, did you come across any mental obstacles like that?
Oh, of course. Fear is being one of it. And the cool thing about fear is that it's actually something that is important for your body. This is your body telling you, hey, be careful.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why fear is there. But as soon as you go into your training and as soon as you train your body to understand how to move, to know your capabilities of your body, to know your limits, the fear just goes away because you have confidence in your own self, your physical limitations already. You know, like, oh, for this gap, I would be able to clear it.
Got
for
you.
Sure.
Got you.
Yeah.
Talking a bit about your training regime, parkour is derived from a military obstacle training course, right?
Yeah, obstacle course.
It's become its own urban subculture these days.
Exactly.
I've seen videos of people training and it seems quite intense.
Who training?
Of you know, parkour. Oh,
okay, yeah.
Just training. Can you just take us through your day-to-day, you know, is how much time is spent navigating these buildings, navigating obstacles, how much time is spent in the gym?
Yeah, so with gym's training, it's a bit more fun and more intense because it's the safe environment where you learn. So you train yourself to learn new moves and then you just have to keep drilling them. Basically, the gymnastic gym. So I'm not talking about weightlifting
gym. Sure.
Because in Malaysia, plugging in Malaysia, it's so bad that we don't have gymnastics gyms available for people to just access.
Gotta use the gym gyms.
Yeah. So you have to find like this smaller private gymnastic gym, which does not really satisfy our needs. We have the big gymnastic gym, but they don't allow us to be in there because, oh, national program, national athlete, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, sure, sure.
Which is, yeah.
That's a story for another day.
Yeah, story for another day, yeah. So anyway, in gyms, you would be training like 4 hours. You could go like 4 hours easily. And when you train outdoors, it's different in Malaysia because we don't just go up on buildings and train jumping from roof to roof because we don't have the same architecture landscape as in Europe, for example, where they are actually in France or in England. They're jumping like roofs, all this. So we navigate like parks or we navigate like smaller segments of buildings, big buildings down. They would have like spots. We would call it spots. And you'll be going to each spot and you'll be able to train for a couple of hours. When you see a parkour video, you think it's really intense. It's only intense when you're doing that line. One line, I would call it the line. A free running line is basically a flow of movements, a combination of one move to the other.
How many moves typically?
It could go from 3 moves to like maybe 5, 6.
Ah, got you.
Depends on the person. If his stamina is better, they could go even more. So yeah. That's about the line. But usually you would be able to spend like 3 hours, 4 hours as well training outdoors. But obviously you don't jump for 3, 4 hours straight. So you do one line, it's explosive movements. Each one move would be really explosive. So you go like 3, 4 moves in one line.
Gotcha.
And then you do a couple of times to get that line perfected. So until you get that perfected, then you're like, you're happy, then you can move to another challenge or another line.
And normally when you train, do you train alone or do you have like a spotter?
Depends.
Right.
You need a spotter for you to learn new moves.
Okay.
So that's useful in the gym. And then when you want to bring that move from the gym to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that's useful as well. You have a spotter, a person that would be able to push and lift you up physically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a spotter, what we call a spotter. What else? When you are training outdoors, you don't really... Yeah, like I said, people think like when I say 3 to 4 hours, you don't like literally jump for 4 hours. You just go do one explosive line and then take a break in between.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I always disagree with this mindset of when you are working out, for example, or training. Parkour is like working out. You don't push yourself to the limit where you tire yourself out and your brain says, no, I can't do it anymore. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the sets that you finish.
Gotcha.
So if you go like one set, if you think like you do 5 push-ups and that's a lot for you, just keep your pace.
Okay.
Do 5 as long as you finish 50 at the end.
Okay.
So of course, if you want to do 50, you do 10 per set and it's like 10 reps per one set. Then you need to do 5 sets. Lesser set for you. But if you think your limit is only 5 push-ups... So do 10 sets.
Mm.
Because in between set, it doesn't matter how long you rest.
Mm.
Because some trainings, they would go really intense and they don't know the fitness level of this person. There you go. Everybody, 10 push-ups. Which is not fair because everybody has
a different
subjective level of stamina.
Mm.
So you should assess every single individual by themselves.
Okay.
So if you think 5 is a lot for you and you're already pushing a limit for doing 5, then do only 5, as long as you finish 10 sets.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
I want to touch upon something you talked about in your earlier reply, talking about the architecture of, I guess, the different regions around the world, right? Which is something I didn't really think about. And to look at our city, especially KL, right? You just talk about KL, you're right. You know, you have tall buildings, and then you have small buildings, and then beside it is a medium building and then a tall building.
Yep.
How much does this different styles of architecture around the regions in the world affect how you practice parkour?
Yes, that's a very good question. Different types of architecture would mean the differences in the building heights and then how far each building is from each other.
Gotcha.
So that would affect your style of training in terms of how far can you go for one line. So if you just are training in a park and you just find a set of obstacles like 3 walls together, That's how far your big your area is.
That's your playground.
That's the whole part, because everything else is just grass. There's no obstacles.
Mm.
But if you find, like in England, for example, there's like always walls that you can climb, or like roofs that's close to each other. So you can go like from here to like 100 meters and still be doing parkour.
Mm.
That's how good the landscape is.
Mm.
So it would definitely affect the style of your training, the style of your flow, how you can flow, and of course the content that you came up with.
Okay, so in KL, okay, maybe we take the Greater Klang Valley as an example. Where's the best place to do parkour?
I would say Putrajaya.
Putrajaya,
because
I can see that.
I would say the newest city, and it has this modern architecture that it's just perfect for free running.
That was Malaysian parkour legend and one of the pioneers of the local parkour and free running scene, Abudi Alzakov. More of that conversation coming up. Do stay tuned. This is Bar None on PFM 89.9. PFM 89.9. My name is Daryl Ong, and you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the show, we've been in conversation with Abudi Alzakov, who's one of the pioneers of the local parkour scene, a sport that has been on the rise worldwide, derived from a military obstacle course and now becoming its own urban subculture. Drawing from gymnastics, it is one that incorporates vaults, precise landings, wall pass, bar techniques, among many others. Here's Abudi, the first ever Malaysian freerunner to be sponsored by Red Bull. He joins us on the show to tell us more.
I would say all the bar tricks would be the most challenging for me to learn back then, because of the facility. Like, of course, you want to learn bar tricks, you have to go to a gym with a bar. And then when you have learned that trick, you go outside, it's hard for you to find a bar that is suitable for you. Like, you want to find a bar where, like in Russia, they have all these pull-up bars outside with grass underneath.
In the parks, right?
Yeah,
right.
In the parks. And it's like all grass, soft grass, where it's safe for you to try out the new tricks that you've learned. Yeah.
Mm. Talking a bit about you being the first Malaysian free runner to be sponsored by Red Bull, tell us a bit about how this came about.
Yeah, so I was offered a personal training position in a newly gym that was opened in Dubai.
Nice.
Back in 2015. And I took the offer. I went there in Dubai, and then they were just building up. So I was consulting them for the design of the gym and then telling them about the program. And from there, I get to meet the Red Bull office in Dubai. And so that's how everything snowballed from there. And because it's a different market, different region of how it works, they have athlete marketing.
Yeah.
They have athlete sponsorship, so that's how.
And they're pretty big into extreme sports too.
Yes, they are very big.
Yeah, so win, almost a win-win situation for both of you.
I get a lot of people asking me like, hey, how to get sponsored by this brand or that brand? And I say like, it depends on where you are from, on the nature of your market. It doesn't work the same in every market, so yeah.
You climbed the highest residential building in the world, Dubai, the 101 Marina.
Yep.
You also did the human flag, like I said, top of the interview in that building. What was going through your mind at that time? Because that picture looks so scary.
Honestly, we were just climbing the 101 Marina to get a shot on the top. It was still not done. And there was this scaffolding that they used to build the roof of that. And for me, when I was, we were already climbing it anyway, the scaffolding on top, to go up on top. And
well, was it a case of don't look down, just look up?
Yes, it's like don't look down, one. And obviously, at that time, my training is always focusing on what you are doing rather than focusing what is around you. Because when you are in that moment, you'll be just with yourself and what you're doing. When you're doing free running, it's just always focusing on your landing, where you're walking, where you're stepping. So it was a case of me just being in that moment. And I knew from my trainings in the gym, I know that I could pull off a static human flag. So there was no risk involved for me to, you know, like use any momentum, which would be more riskier. And
I thought all human flags are static. You mean guys actually move while they're doing?
Yeah, they are like moves, like legs and stuff like that. So it's like all, some people jump to get into their position And so mine was just like pushing off. Yeah, okay. It is a static position, but there's like variations for it.
And how long were you hanging? What was the hang time?
Not more than like 10 seconds.
A long 10 seconds,
yeah,
though, I'm sure.
That was really scary, yeah.
So let's talk a bit about, you know, how you ensure safety sometimes, like example that.
Yeah, it's actually more on surface check, environmental check.
Oh.
And for you, when you are training for a long time, you would understand this more.
Okay.
When you check your environment and the surface.
So in terms of like the weather.
Yes, weather, surface, and the structure check as well.
Mm.
So walls, when you're climbing walls, you want to check if the walls that you want to climb is strong enough. Is it just an empty wall? And if you want to do a wall pass, you'll be kicking the wall and it would break.
All right.
Stuff like that. You check all of those things before you do anything, yeah.
I've seen your pictures at the top of the Ipoh signage.
Uh-huh.
The Putrajaya Bridge, Dubai's Big Ben, and other, you know, abandoned buildings and spaces. Tell me a bit about how you scout for these areas.
To be honest, the abandoned buildings are more on urban exploration, which is like an extension of my training. So you go to all these, I would say, unique places. When it's abandoned, you go there and you see what other people haven't seen. So that's the abandoned places.
It's a lot of exploring.
Exploring, right. And you want to see like what shots, that, especially content creation is my passion.
Mm.
So you go out there, you want to shoot a video, or you want to do some photos that is unusual, I would say. So like tall places as well, it was like not a lot of people go there just to enjoy the landscape and the view.
So wherever people don't go, you definitely want to go. You're doing engineering in university,
yes,
and then made in the transition to do parkour full-time, and now you're training as well. Tell me a bit about how both those industries, what you learned from both of them.
My engineering was in computer information electronics, kind of like in IT and also electronics hardware. So it actually helped me a lot in terms of my digital marketing when I was growing my presence, my brand presence, my platform. So it helped me in that sense where I have all this knowledge that I've learned online to be able to achieve and to be able to be in this position that I am today. So it complements each other, I would say. And yeah, it helps a lot, especially when you're an athlete, you're doing everything yourself.
Sure.
You are everything, literally. You're an entrepreneur, you're doing this, that, everything, yeah.
What are some of your career highlights? Like, what's your favorite career highlight today?
I would say one of the most memorable highlight for me is to be able to meet Jackie Chan.
Ah, that's right. He came up, he turned up for screening.
He came in,
right?
2012 for CZ 12.
Do tell the story. Yeah.
And we did an opening for Jackie Chan. So I get to meet him in person, and then we get to, you know, shake hands, and then he signed off my t-shirt. So that was kind of a big deal for me because Jackie Chan was like a childhood hero for me, where we've seen all his movies when we were kids. It was really popular. And to be able to see him in real life, it's insane.
Did you ask him if he did all the tricks by himself?
No. We didn't even get the chance to like have a conversation with him because it was really brief. But he's like in real life, such a bulky and big guy, actually. Yeah.
How about in your, I guess, parkour career landmarks and milestones, I guess, which in your career so far, what do you say have been your, I guess, proudest moment?
I would say, like, of course, being sponsored by big brands, and then being in a TV show, not in a couple of TV shows. I was a character in Urbex in 3 episodes, and then I was in another urban exploration TV show, and it's all international TV shows. In 1 episode as a co-host, and then in Malaysia, I've hosted my own TV show as well.
Oh,
for
nice.
Like 8 or 9 episodes, Changemakers. It's called Changemakers, yeah. So this all led to where I am today, being an athlete, being able to give a speech or talk in front of the camera. These are all the skills that you develop being an athlete, and it led me to where I am today, like, being in a TV show, being able to, you know, interview people or act as a character in a TV show. Yeah. Mm.
You travel all around the world meeting, I guess, the different parkour communities, the different cultures.
Yep.
Would you say that, I guess, being a stuntman, inverted commas, yes, right, is the natural progression for yep. your subset of skills. Yep. Would you say so?
I wouldn't really say that the only progression that you go to is being a stuntman or in Hollywood. Mm. There's a lot of more career choices and options for you to grow, mm. especially if you already are in a position where you are a KOL or... Mm. people know you in that sports scene. There's always entrepreneurship that you need to go to, and I highly recommend people do that instead, because a lot of people stop their passion in whatever it is and because they need to get a job. My principle is you create that job opportunity for yourself.
Yeah. It's something you're doing now with Alpha Movements.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, what's this.
Yeah. So Alpha Movements is a brand right now. I transitioned it to a streetwear brand, to a okay. casual brand, where it's like cater on the streetwear style that you don't really see. It's a unique and limited edition branding that we do. And
is it also parkour gear?
Yes, parkour gear, free running, but more on like everybody can wear it as long as you're into streetwear.
Gotcha.
And it has all this goth street vibe, you know. So that is a brand that I created starting off as an extreme talent agency, mm. where all events and marketing agency would come to us, and then we would provide all sorts of extreme talents. So we still do that, obviously. Yeah. So that is Alpha Movements, basically.
Mm, and how long has it been running for?
It's been since 2012, okay. so about
wow, long
8
time.
Years now, almost
long
8
time.
Years, yeah.
So you've been to Greece,
yes.
Sydney, Dubai,
yes.
among
yes.
many others.
Yes.
What's next for you? What's next on the bucket list?
Yeah, to be honest, right now, I really want to focus on my business first,
okay.
my brand, mm. Clothing brand, and then also my agency. So, because right now, that's my focus for this year. So I really want to grow the brand, have the company running properly and everything before moving forward with the sports scene. Mm. Obviously, when there's demand, I would still be able to do it.
Mm.
But right now, it's just more on business and entrepreneurship.
Mm. A final few questions. In your opinion, you've been doing it for so long. What qualities makes a good free runner or a good parkour athlete?
I think he... couple of things, obviously. He needs to be careful and understand his limits, and also persistence. Always people give up for too early, way too early. They're like, oh, I can't do this, I give up. So if you're persistent in what you're doing and you're confident and you are eager to learn, that will make you a good freerunner. Mm.
For the people that are listening to this now, you know, inspired by your story, really wants to get into parkour or freerunning, how would you suggest they do it?
You could get in touch with the local communities, or you could... get in touch with us, Alpha Movements.
Mm.
Yeah.
And is there a webpage that people can go to?
There's parkourmalaysia.com for the parkour Malaysian communities, and then Facebook, yeah.
Mm. And do you guys organize like training sessions, open training sessions
yeah.
where people can come?
There is, if I'm not mistaken, like weekly gym sessions.
Nice.
And the training sessions is a bit inconsistent because mm. it all depends on people organizing it.
Mm.
But usually you would find like a couple of guys, and then you'd be training with like 2-3 guys.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be necessarily every time a gathering session.
Sure.
Because that would be close to impossible to just like gather everybody.
Janji got member lah.
Yeah, janji got member. Like 1-2 guys.
Mm.
That's why I say that, make friends, and then you can train with the same person. 2-3 person is enough for you to have a training session.
Talking a bit about the future, about the parkour scene here in Malaysia, or rather parkour in general.
Yeah.
Skateboarding, karate will be included in this upcoming Tokyo Olympics.
Yep.
Do you see this? Do you see parkour or free running in the near future?
Yes.
At least getting into it.
I see parkour and free running in the main stage as well, I would say, because right now the Federation of Gymnastics are bringing it to that path.
Mm.
They're putting parkour in the stage of side of like a side events for Olympics.
Mm.
So I would say that it would be there sooner or later. But I think sooner.
Hopefully sooner.
Yeah.
That's the last question. Tell us what's in for you for 2020 and beyond. What's your hope and vision for the local parkour scene here in Malaysia?
Well, I see some good progress made from the Johor. I don't know, like body sports
okay.
in Johor. They have created their first free running park. And I want to work with all of the city councils, especially in Klang Valley, because we don't have a parkour park yet. I want to approach them to just consult them, like, hey, you need a parkour park, Johor already have it, why don't you have it, we'll be your consultant, like,
yeah.
work up to have a parkour park.
That was Abudi Alzagov telling us more about the parkour and free running scene here in Malaysia. For more information on him or the scene as a whole, do head over to www.parkourmalaysia.com. And that brings us to the end of this week's program. If you'd like to get in touch with us, remember you can tweet us at BFM Radio. The podcast for today's show will be up on our website real soon at www.bfm.my/barnan. And also don't forget to download our latest BFM app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong and this has been Barnan, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.